Thanks for downloading this free audio sermon from Bethel Church, Coventry. For more audio downloads, updates on the building project and other information, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.
And the reading is 2 Timothy 1, 1 to 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of this testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Amen. Thank you.
That's good. Good morning to you. It's really good to see you. A number of you will know the Watkins family, either from your time with Elim or even here. And Anne went to be with the Lord this week, just gone, on Thursday. The Lord has been good to the family. As I've visited, there's been a real sense of the Lord's presence. And the timing of messages and calls that Ian and Kat and Paul, etc., have received is not a surprise to us, because the Lord comforts us in our sorrows, doesn't he? So we in turn can share that and comfort others who themselves are struggling, who are sorrowful. And so we need to lift up Ian and the family today, the arrangements for the celebration of Anne's life. She was only a short time with us, relatively speaking, many, many years at Elim. So together as congregations, we will be uplifting the family. And the details of the celebration will come out, and we'll make that known. There are other people, Frank's in good spirit in Rugby, appreciates the visitors, and he's learning to walk again, and things like this. There's a lot of good things as well. But even in that, you know, I've been surprised by the messages and the hope. Sometimes we just consider the things we like as good things, and the things that we wouldn't rather happen as the bad things. But actually, often we are closer to Christ in the times when we wouldn't choose, the times of our choosing. In my own journey, that's been certainly the case, that I've had that increasing need to press in when things have been tough. So it's we're going to pray, and then we're going to dive into our series. Welcome if you're a visitor. Please don't rush away. And it's good to have you with us. And so let us come before the Lord together. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can gather with freedom today. These days are precious. I'm not certain that we value them as greatly as we should. Sometimes we choose whether or not We feel like it to be amongst your people, but Lord, there are so many people, brothers and sisters in Christ, who would love to be here across the world, who simply cannot, because it's illegal, they're in prison, they're persecuted for simply loving Jesus. Oh, Holy Spirit, might it be that you give us an urgency about your things, about gathering with your people, about your glorious gospel. Would you remind us what matters as we look at this whole thing today, this whole understanding of what really matters, what's important to us as a body of your people. We would lift up those who are sad, those who need a special touch from yourself. We think particularly of the Watkins household. We pray for Ian and Cap and Paul and the wider family. I think of Carol and David and brothers and sister. And Lord, we thank you so much that they were able to reflect in the week on the ministry and the service of Anne for yourself over the many, many years. Even messages from children that, whose lives that she touched and changed for Jesus. Lord, we thank you so much. It reminds us of what really matters. But we pray for your special presence in that household of faith this week. Lord, that as they build up and they think about the arrangements, Lord, that you'd bless them, you'd encourage them. Equally for Frank, we thank you that he's on the mend. He's seeing you in the circumstances. He's witnessing for you. For many others, Lord, we pray that in all things, that we'll learn that contentment that only comes from you, Holy Spirit, that soul sufficiency. For others who are looking forward to exciting things, we think of Jenny and Neil as they prepare to get married in this facility here. We pray that the day will run smoothly, that you'll be in the center of their marriage and of that day, and that again the gospel will be clear, and that many, many people will be challenged and changed for eternity. May you get the glory for our time now. May we have open hearts, open Bibles, open ears to hear, Holy Spirit, what you're saying to your church and saying to me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're taking matters. There's a saying. I don't know how many of you. I did Slimming World once. For about 6 weeks, you don't have to raise your hands, don't we? It's wrong, isn't it, saying that? But it's quite important to lots of people, isn't it, that sort of thing? I mean, I need to get back on the treadmill. And I just enjoyed Christmas. It sort of expanded beyond a bit, beyond that, that's all. So it's those of you who don't know me, I used to run like mad, and I'm still kind of running, but it's not as often. But you see, what we take in matters, and there's a saying in the sort of world of food, whether you agree with it or not, I don't know, is that we are what we eat. I mean, I don't know. Look, I'm only saying that's what people say. I'm not saying that. I'm not looking at anybody. It's awful when you say that sort of thing. I'm only saying some people say about other people, we are what we eat. Now, whether you believe that or not, I don't know if that's true about your health, but regards our spiritual health, with regards our spiritual health, the spiritual food we take in is important. We are spiritually what we take in, what we feed upon. It's so, so important. And I'm surprised and shocked, in fact, saddened. There's great research done about how across the country, and my brother Andy and I and know someone particularly who does this, who does research into how congregations and how Christians engage with Scripture. And the percentages, you may or may not be shocked, are tiny. You're talking just about crawling into double figures for people who read the scriptures daily. Amongst God's people, we're talking about now. In the UK church. Is that a surprise? Maybe it's not a surprise to you if everyone models how you engage with God's word. I don't know. Whenever I stand here, it's up to the Holy Spirit to challenge me and to challenge all of us. How are we feeding? Do you know there is some junk food out there? And with the access for the internet and all sorts of things, you know, we can stay at home and we don't have to gather and we can just click on our favorite anecdotes. And I'm not saying any of those are necessarily amazing or not, but we need discernment to know what to take in spiritually. Our spiritual intake of food really, really matters. But there's all sorts of things out there on the internet that worry me. You know, the sort of message that might say something like, that promises a life of health. Do you know if you're sick today, it's because you've done something very wrong. God doesn't want you to be ill. It's out there. It's in this city. That worries me. It really worries me. A sort of message that promises a trouble-free life with no pain or sorrow or struggles or crisis of faith ever. If you have any of those things, it's not God's fault. It's all your fault. And so it adds guilt to whatever you brought to Christ. So many people disengaging because of messages like that. Or maybe a message that suggests multiple ways to heaven. We all get there in the end. It doesn't matter what faith you believe. Can I tell you, that's junk. I was invited a few years ago down south to this religious education conference. And there was a panel of people. I was the resident evangelical Christian, whatever you want to call that. I don't like that title. But I was, as far as they were concerned, I was the regular Bible basher they wanted to invite. Is that okay? I can own that and call myself it. It's okay. I'm relaxed. Even though I don't do that. And the fact of the matter is, I was sat next to a Buddhist, and there was an imam, and there was all sorts of people from different faiths. And we had workshops in the morning, and all the children, the secondary school children of Hampshire, came around with different workshops. And they had to have a look, of what the different faiths for their, and quite right, for their RE syllabus. So it was an education program. And then we had to kind of prompt them to maybe ask questions. And it was a bit like a question time thing in the afternoon where we were all sat at the panel. We were all in a big audience in an auditorium, and they could ask the panel any questions they wanted. And so when my guys came to me, I said, you know, what sort of questions are you thinking of asking the panel? And they said, oh, I don't know, not sure. I said, why don't you ask the panel? It's up to you. Why don't you think about something like this? Are you right? And they looked. Anyway, it came to the panel time, and it was the questions and all this lot, and the chair was doing a fairly good job. And there, a little hand, and I recognized this little lad. Oh, my word, you've never heard so much rubbish in your life. Sorry. And the chair came to me, and this little lad, trembling little hand, says, I want to ask everyone on the panel, are you right? And it went round, and the chair said to me, so Keith, what do you think? And I said, I think Jesus was right when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm not right, but I think Jesus was. And you could have heard a pin drop in that place. And this shuffling either side was absolutely quite interesting. Because up to that point, you see, it was all about let's agree together because we all worship the same thing. No, we don't. If you start to look anything like into the character of God, he's a very different God in the Quran than he is in Scripture. Look, I'm not here to bash different faiths. What I'm saying is we have a truth as Christ followers of the gospel. We need to know what we believe. It sounds amazing. It's called universalism. Everyone gets there in the end. Really? Wasn't Jesus silly for collapsing and going to the cross? Hadn't he needed to? It just worries me. And I start that sharply because we're in a world where actually even the church is under pressure to downgrade, to fall in, to come into some kind of, well, maybe we can kind of negotiate what this looks like. Know the name. It's all about you. I sang this morning. I don't know what you sang in your heart. So what are we taking in? And we've been, this whole series, we've been challenging ourselves to be a people who receive, take things in, but then practice. So what we receive changes what we do. It must do. Knowing lots of stuff about the Bible, having a Bible college degree, isn't enough if we receive and we remain the terminus of our knowing. It must change my life, how I forgive people, how I love people beyond what I can love. And we've said we want to be a people who receive practice, but also continue to make disciples, to pass it on. So we want to be a people who receive practice and share. They're the three words this year and maybe beyond. How am I doing? Am I receiving well? That's good. I'm listening to the sound of people that I really love. But is that changing what I do? And ultimately, am I encouraging others as well in their Christ walk? So important for all of us. And so Paul now says to Timothy, today I've entitled the message, Faithfully Share. What does passing on look like? And what does it matter what we pass on? Paul in verse 13, what you have heard from me, Timothy, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. What you've heard from me, well, who's me? The Apostle Paul. A sent one, a called one from the Lord. One who was called to shape the whole teaching of the early church. In Acts chapter 2, what does it say? It says in Acts 2, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. In 42 to 47. It tells us what that looks like. They devoted themselves. Devoted. We're called to receive the sound pattern of teaching of the glorious gospel, the life, death, resurrection and return of Jesus. And don't miss any of those out. That's it's not the gospel. And pass it on. And you see, we live in a world right now, and maybe you've noticed in your workplace or even in your family, of great gospel opposition. Opposition not only to the fact that it seems quite a morbid and a difficult subject, a God-man crucified for us. The only way, with an eternity in hell without him. No one wants to hear that in this city. Who would? And that frightens me. You see, in Paul and Timothy's time, it was dangerous to say Jesus is Lord because Caesar was Lord. In our time, it's dangerous to say Jesus is Lord because anything is Lord except Jesus. You can believe in anything, but don't start talking about the gospel. We have free speech, except, have you noticed that, except for Christians? Have you noticed that? It's okay unless you suddenly say, well, I'm a Christ follower. Can I have my view on this? This is what the Bible says. And can I say there is a skill in delivering this? And often the term is called apologetics. It's not saying sorry. It's about handling the word of truth correctly with gentleness and respect that engages people at the very point of need. We need to be students of God's word. And the Lord's challenging me. I remember when I first came here, the first 4 or 5 years, we had some very detailed midweek studies on some of the key things. And I did a series on our statement of faith, I think last summer. Because many people just come on a Sunday. But I might do a poll sometime soon to say if we did some really, really serious stuff midweek to really equip us. Not just relying on your life groups, which are great. I'd love to see how many of you would come along. I'd love to see that full. Because this is the most important thing we handle, without a doubt. It's so easy to water things down, to accommodate. So how can we stay faithful? Let me just run through some things that Paul runs through with Timothy. The important thing is that we listen carefully. We listen carefully. Verse 13, what you have heard from me. Jesus said, let him who has ears. You notice he didn't say, let him who has eyes, let him read. Many people were illiterate, were blessed being able to read. One really good thing to do is taking the scriptures from different ways. Why don't you read a passage of scripture, then listen to it online? You'd be amazed how sometimes it just speaks a different way to your heart. I often do that, and it really is helpful to do that. And listen carefully, says Paul to Timothy. And the question is, what are we listening to? It's important to be students of God's word. Do you notice in that conference, I didn't say, well, I think Jesus is the only way. Are you right? No, I think Jesus was right. When he said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's only through the word of God that life is transformed. I'm here today because someone cared enough to share scripture, life-changing scripture with me, which revealed the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can transform lives. You see, if I go to in a debate circle with friends and say, well, do you know, I think this might be the way. My opinion doesn't mean very much. You might as well just pitch my opinion in with everybody else's. But the word of God, when people have to reject the word of God, there's something quite powerful about that, which changes things. But you see, we need to know what matters when we listen to God's word. This is so important. Churches down the centuries, from the very earliest churches, as soon as the church stopped getting persecuted, once Constantine kind of became a Christian, probably early 4th century, the church was legal, we had our own buildings, and so we started to focus on ourselves. Before that, the church was so persecuted and so underground that I didn't have time to worry too much. And then we got an institution, and we got buildings, and we got organization, and then we started to have debates and all sorts of things, which are healthy, by the way, if done maturely. But what we take in matters. 2 Peter. Peter, another apostle, says in 2 Peter 2, there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who bought them. You know, bought them with his blood. Bringing swift destruction on themselves. And will they be effective? Well, many will follow them, yes, says Peter. They'll be effective, these people. It's not that, you know, they stood there on their own with 2 or 3 followers. There are whole movements. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. In their greed, these teachers will exploit you with fabricated stories. I'm always worried when someone's preaching and is constantly asking for money. I'm worried when I get ministry mail through the post. Really good ministries that are always asking for money. To listen to that every other song is asking for money. I don't listen to it anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm just telling you my thing. It's about Christ. Who are we listening to? Do you know, I love the Bereans. The Berean Jews. Second missionary journey in Acts 17. Here's the Apostle Paul. Well, the Apostle Paul's speaking. If it was on our news sheet this week, Apostle Paul. Wow. We've got this great guy next week. We've got this really good. But look at how the Berean Jews treat the Apostle Paul. Now, the Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. For they received the message with great eagerness and examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Isn't that good? I would love you to examine the scriptures, rush away, email me and say, Keith, I'm worried about that. It's lovely. There's nothing more thrilling for me to know you're engaging with the scriptures. It's wonderful. It's more encouraging than telling me it's a nice word. Nice word, Pastor. Great. And thank you for that, but how is it going to change us? It's really interesting. We need to check out, first thing, what we're being fed. Is it about Christ? Is it about the cross? Do you know, it's really interesting. A lot of people who really take diet seriously and worry, they check food for E numbers. Anyone do that? Yeah, good. Just a few of you. It's important to check what's on there. Can I say, if you're listening to teaching, listen to a preacher, check for me numbers. Are they always talking about themselves? Are they always talking about themselves? Guess what? Now look, I come out with some stories, don't I? So I mean, I'm not saying this is, you know, me numbers aren't banned. But is it about, incredibly, if you leave here just remembering that one story that happened to Keith, wasn't it funny what happened to Keith? I failed. Failed miserably. It must be about how Christ worked in that situation. Pointing people to Christ. Listen out for the me numbers in the stuff you're listening to. Honest. Meeting numbers can include church. It's all about this church. It's all about our vision, our program. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and following His kingdom plan for your purposes. That's why we're thrilled to pray for Mick and Dawn, because they feel a kingdom calling to Tile Hill, and we want to join as family to do that maturely and in a grown-up way. That's what maturity in Christ looks like. Let's listen, says Timothy. What have you heard from me? Because, you know, Paul says to the Romans church in chapter 10, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that beautiful? Have you called on the name of the Lord today, ever? Have you recognized the rebellion in your heart and says, Lord, I need to follow you in a new way. Not you in my life, but Lord, me in yours. It's all about you. It's not about me, the song said, as if you should do things my way. We sing it, but we don't often mean it, because we get out of shape when it doesn't go my way. True. But Paul says, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But whatever we're taking in is what we'll give out in our staff rooms, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our toddler groups, in all groups we're in. What if we're taking junk in, which says it doesn't matter what you believe, don't worry about it, as long as you've got some kind of faith, we'll give that out. And that worries me. If it's not about Christ or the cross, not based upon the word of God that we communicate, I've got to say this as nicely as I can: your feet aren't beautiful, and it's not good news. Being nice to someone isn't necessarily being nice. You can be gentle and loving. And you know when someone you know loves you? Build it upon relationship. Build it upon relationship. When someone knows you love them, you really love them, you can say some pretty harsh things to me. The people who loved me the most in my life have said some of the hardest things to me. And I really still love them. And I really still appreciate them, because they love me enough to tell me the truth. There was a guy, this is a me story, sorry, I've told you it before. There was a guy in Egypt, when I was in the military, he couldn't speak a word of English. But he loved me enough to tell me that if I stood over this fence, that I'd blow up because it was a minefield. He couldn't tell me he loved me, he couldn't tell me that. And he couldn't sort of negotiate with me and say, oh, well, he'll find out, you know, it's important to find out these things, isn't it, in life. You just walk through this minefield, see what happens. No, he was like, no, 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 no. Boom! No! Boom! No, 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 no! Boom! I got it. I really got it. I'm not going there. Boom, yeah? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Brilliant, okay. That way. Yeah, that way. It was funny. Well, really, it was there. But we need to listen carefully. As what you've heard from me, Timothy, the apostolic, the things I've passed down from Jesus himself as an apostle, in that closeness with Christ. Listen carefully. And like any, we need to share it faithfully and consistently. Keep it as the pattern. What you've heard from me, Timothy, keep as the pattern. A pattern is like a blueprint. It's something not to be kind of moved away from. This is what it is. Do you know what's amazing? I'm not saying we should do church like this, but there is a very, very famous burger chain. Wherever you go in the world, and I've been in some places, and you'll suddenly see this burger palace, which looks like the one up there, because they know the model works. And they say, no, 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 don't care who you are, what culture you're from, what the background is, this is what you do. And Paul here in that sort of mood is saying, Timothy, whatever you face, whatever challenges you have, make sure you keep to the pattern of sound teaching of the gospel that you know you've seen in me. Keep this pattern. Timothy, don't you veer away from that. Needs to be systematic, Timothy. Needs to be sound. You know, in our times together, are we looking at the character of God? So often we can be thrown out. People might say to us, well, if God was loving, what would that happen? And we struggle to answer. Maybe we need a few more sessions in the week on things like this. I mean, would that be helpful? I don't know. Would it? There's three of us, we'll have a great time. I think it's important to be able to answer life's tough questions and use it and look at the character of God in Scripture. God is the same from Genesis to Revelation. The whole of the Bible, 66 books, is the same. He judges at the beginning just as he judges at the end. He loves at the beginning just as he loves at the end. He provides a blessing and then a covenant relationship at the beginning just as he does at the end. He's amazing. Can we know a God like that and demonstrate with someone who's seeking, who the Lord has graciously put in our office or next door to us or even in our family, that we can say, could we walk through this now and see that? We need to listen to the right stuff and then regularly, faithfully share. Paul, when he was moving from Ephesus in Acts 20, moving towards his trial, almost in a sense mirroring the journey of Jesus from north to south. Here he goes to Rome. In Acts 20, he's speaking to the Ephesian elders. He's poured into their lives. And he can leave with a clear conscience. He says this in Acts 20, verse 25. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. There is a start. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you. I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Everything. I wasn't happy that you were just saved. You needed to have depth. You needed to know why. You needed to know the importance of sharing, the importance of following Christ, what it looked like in the everyday. Share faithfully. And Timothy, not only do you need to listen carefully and share faithfully, you need to focus on Christ consistently, not only in your delivery, but in your message as well. Verse 13. So it says there, it should be there too in your Bible, what you've heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Timothy, your approach is to be one with faith and love, but you're communicating the faith and love of Christ Jesus. Well, if we round that up, my prayer every week, and maybe this doesn't happen, but my prayer every week is as we leave here, our faith and love in Christ is increased as we walk out the door. That's my passion. And if it's not doing that for you, you need to talk to me and say, Keith, you're putting me off, to be honest. You're making me miserable. Now, I might ask you a couple of questions back just to make sure you're just not challenged. But you know, I'd rather be miserable for Christ than full of the joys of spring on the way to hell. I think you can have both, by the way. I'm a really happy guy. I'm thinking of a visitor right now. You probably think, crumbs, who's this? Honestly, you'd have to know me. My family are there. I'm jolly, aren't I? Most of the time. Oh, Jory's out with the family. There you go. They're amazing. Timothy, you have a great legacy of faith. Let's walk through that chapter one. You've got a great legacy of faith. Put it into practice. Listen carefully to that pattern of the gospel, which has changed your life, let's face it, Timothy. Share faithfully. Focus on Christ with faith and love consistently. And lastly, it's always a good word, guard it jealously. Verse 14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Isn't that incredible? Did you know that following Christ is a supernatural faith? The Spirit of God comes and lives inside you and directs your life and decisions and choices and will challenge you when those things in your life don't honor God. It's wonderful. If you're challenged about the rebellion and the sin in your life, I'm incredibly encouraged. The Spirit of God is at work. If you're not challenged, I'm very worried. I don't read my Bible and I don't care. That worries me to death. I'm really struggling with this aspect of my life. I'm excited. I struggle with the internet. I struggle with this. I struggle with this. I'm excited about that. We want this to be a place like a hospital, we said before, not a chapel, where we can say, so what's wrong with you then? And we say, yeah, I'm trying with all his energy that works within me. But some days I can't feel it. And that's okay. But it will matter what we take in. If I don't eat, I won't even get up and start the day. What I take in on a daily basis matters. Guard it with your life, says Paul. To the same Ephesian elders in Acts 20, verse 28, keep watch over yourselves, starts with you, and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God. Wow, what a task. Which he has bought with his own blood. Do you know, this frightens me to death. When I read it this week, here's Christ, he's bought the church with his own blood. And I feel him almost personally. And Keith, this is a local gathering here. Guard it. And you're going to be accountable to me how you do it. That frightens me to death. I can't say any other than Christ crucified. I cannot say there's lots of ways. I'd love to say all our unsaved relatives and friends will be fine in the end. They won't. They need Jesus Christ. I have unsaved family or friends we pray regularly for the Holy Spirit of God to come and open their hearts and lives for their need for forgiveness and for Christ Jesus. What a wonderful gospel we have. What a wonderful message of hope we have. But you see, I know that after I leave, says Paul to the Ephesian elders, verse 29, savage wolves. He doesn't mess around with people who mess with the gospel. He doesn't say, well, they're just misinformed a bit. They're really nice, that person on the internet, aren't they? You know, I think they're quite nice. He says, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock, even from your own number. Men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away followers, disciples, after them. Not Christ. So be on your guard. If someone says to you, follow me more than follow Christ, that worries me. You know, if you need to come to me every time you've got an issue, I'm spiritually disabling you. Did you know that? I want to be a signpost to Christ for you. He's the only one who can fix me and you. And if I can help in any way and draw alongside and pray, wonderful. But it must be him. Tim Chester says, so often we can be so busy being nice that we can be signposts pointing nowhere. It's so true. It's so true. I had a dear friend, old Bill. Sorry, it is another me story, isn't it? But brilliant guy. Came to Christ when he was in his 50s. He'd only ever read The Sun up to that point, the back page, sports page, Chelsea fan, never mind. He played football till he was 73. He was amazing. Slide tackles and everything, guys. Honestly, and girls, you wouldn't believe it. Unbelievable. He used to go to meetings and he'd come back and say, how was the meeting, Bill? You know, some other places and that. And he'd say, oh, they all went away with fat bellies and lean souls. That's what he'd say. What he meant was loads of food and nothing was really spoken about the gospel or the word. He was on it, Bill. He was great. He said what he meant. It was just his way. Maybe is one of those things. But you see, Paul says to Timothy, be on your guard. I don't know if you've ever been a guard for anything. I was a guard at Lady Diana's and Prince Charles's wedding. That's interesting. And everything had to be meticulous. That didn't go wrong. You don't want it to go wrong. If you're a guard, Paul here is saying, you've got to guard things. You really have to guard. Make sure nothing comes in that shouldn't be there. Tony's laughing because what's a really funny sketch this week? Never mind. Ask him afterwards. But you see, can you see the importance of what this is? We could get everything really well. We could have the slickest services in the world. People could be on the internet saying, wow, have you heard what's going down 10:30 on a Sunday in CV13HB? Have you heard about the children's program, which is, by the way, amazing? Have you heard about this and that and the other? But are they hearing about Jesus? Is it about the gospel? When people are finished in your presence, do they know the reason for the hope within you is Jesus Christ? And that he's there and available for them too. Who loves them deeply, absolutely unconditionally, as a father loves a child. Completely. It's a living faith, Timothy. Listen carefully. Share faithfully. Be Christ-focused consistently. Guard it jealously. What a glorious gospel we have. I'm going to do something unusual now. This could go completely wrong. I think I've got some words. We're going to stand and we're going to sing this unaccompanied. This is an old song. Anyone know it? Otherwise, I'm singing solo. Thank goodness for that. Come on, more of you know it than this. And this is a gospel declaration, and this is an intention from us as a church, and then the music group, we're going to come and lead us in the final part. This is what matters. At the end of the day, the fact that sometimes we get this or that wrong when we gather, or we're not as comfortable as we'd like to be. I just think of people like that lady Open Doors reported on some years ago, who spent 2 years in the shipping crate for writing a Christian song. That's uncomfortable. This isn't. That's really uncomfortable. So let's put it in perspective. We're not saying those things don't matter. What I'm saying is, this really matters. It's really important to know what matters. So I'll start, which will be really, really bad for you. But we're going to, and there's four verses, but it's absolutely brilliant. There's four verses, and then the music group are going to lead us in a song called The Creed, which is amazing, which affirms what we believe. So, would you stand with me, please? Lord Jesus, help us to declare the gospel, to take our place today, and to be gossipers of the gospel, knowing what matters, the life, death, resurrection, and return of Christ, knowing, Lord, that we need to be a people who pass on the gospel baton, and all this teaching that you've given us in your word. Help us, Lord, to be students, and to be receivers, and people who practice, it changes me, and people who share and encourage others in your truth, in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a broadcast here from Bethel Church in Coventry. For more information and other sermons, why not visit us online at www.bethelcoventry.org.uk.